read firstly from Romans chapter 8. And we shall begin reading at verse 28 and read down to the end of the chapter. Reading from verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And turning back then to Psalm 23 once again, and we'll read verse 6. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We take for our text this evening the first part of that verse. Last week we completed the wonderful verse 5, bringing as it does the feast of love, the banquet of love that the Good Shepherd brings to his sheep, Christ brings to his people. And we saw, in fact, that all the elements of verse 5, they all related to that feast. The table, of course, and the cup that runneth over, speaking of the generosity, the abundance which comes to us from Christ. Remember, we thought about he who is our rock, who has been struck so that the water flows forth, even living water gushing out. But as we thought the week before about how the anointing of the head, that was also part of the feast, the honouring gesture to an honoured guest who was there. And all these things, they come to all Christians, don't they? And they come through the wondrous love of God, and that is something which would never fail to astound us. Eternally, it will astound us. How the Lord treats us with such honour and such love. We who are by nature his enemies, sinners, rebels, haters of God, we were as we came and we lived in this world, and it is a wonder which eternity would be too short to tell that he should love us and bestow us upon us all these things at such great cost to himself. Well, then we come to verse 6, which of course is the final verse of this very concise and pithy psalm. And as we've seen, so precious, so full of many truths, precious to God's people down through the ages. If you think about it, 3,000 years the people of God have had this psalm for our use. Countless numbers, even up to ourselves this day, have been blessed through its assuring, comforting and lifting content. And so it is my intention to take 2 weeks over this final verse. Next week, which will be our last, won't it, in Psalm 23, we'll think about eternity and dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. But the first part of the verse, it focuses upon this life. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, writes David. Well, I've got three thoughts of this for our meditation this evening. Firstly, we can see it is a convinced conclusion. Convinced conclusion. Surely, he says. Convinced, isn't he? Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I think we can say, this is the last verse, isn't it, that this convinced conclusion, it has arisen, it's drawn out of all that he has told us in the psalm so far. All that he's reflected upon in order to write Psalm 23. And that, of course, arises from the deep meditation he made himself on the glorious truth of the Lord being his shepherd, and how he has pondered that this has been so throughout all his life, how he's not lacked anything, how he's been fed in the green pastures spiritually, beside the still waters. His soul, so down at times, has been restored, and of course, the walking in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, and the experience even of the valley of the shadow of death, and the table which we thought about for the last few weeks. And seeing all these things, these abundant helps, these repeated, constant blessings in this life, up to that point in his life, David is able to conclude by faith that his life from that point onwards will likewise be blessed. Let me give you a quote from William Perkins. He says, "By means of all the mercies of God bestowed upon him, he came to be persuaded of a continuance of the favour of God towards him." So writes the Puritan William Perkins. So, how is all that going to unfold? How has it unfolded, and will it continue to do that? Well, we have two ways that we read of here, don't we? And we can call them all encompassing ways. Spurgeon writes of them as being twin angels which follow the believer. Goodness and mercy follow him all the days of his life. Goodness, which we'd expect from the good shepherd, wouldn't we? And he will continue to do good to him, to bring good things and wholesome things into his life. All that he needs, as we can think of, physical things, emotional blessings and upholdings, mental upholdings, and of course spiritual good will come to him and continue to come to David. So goodness. But also mercy. And we think immediately, don't we, of pardon for sin. And so yes, good things will come, but of course, sadly, good men sin and fall into sin. And so there was a vital need for that as well. And of course the scepter is extended in and through Christ, based upon his atoning work upon the cross. We don't know when David wrote this psalm. There can tend to be an assumption that he wrote it when he was a young man, when he was a shepherd tending the sheep in the countryside there around Bethlehem. But I don't think there's any real necessity to lead us to that conclusion. Some commentators feel it could just as well have been written as the outcome, as he reflected upon that theme, the Lord being his shepherd, toward the end of his life. And so, if that was the case, that would have included the sins he had committed against Bathsheba, the murder of her husband, Uriah the Hittite. You know, very great sins he had committed, and those who had been present in his thoughts about mercy. Of course, you'd have thought, you know, how despite all that goodness of God which has sustained him throughout his days, the struggle with Saul, and the 7 years further struggle with Saul's son before he became king of all Israel, and how the Lord had sustained him and done nothing but good. It had flowed to him, hadn't it? And yet, despite these things, he fell into that great, serious sin. And, you know, we know that we're the same, aren't we? You know, we sadly also fall into sin. Still, we have the old man with us throughout this life. But despite that being so, there is goodness that comes to us and mercy as well. And that word we have, mercy, yes, we often think of it as being pity and mercy extended to us. But the word actually in the original is very broad, has many meanings. Oh, wonderful. It's a word oozing with blessing. And often in the scriptures it's translated kindness. Or loving kindness, of course, a terrific word which we have in our Bibles, capturing the combination of the two, love and kindness, a sense of kind love, love that is kind. And so David has this convinced conclusion that goodness and also kind mercy will follow him all the days of his life. But there's a sense in which we can, I think, take the words, not only separately, as we've just done, but take them together as well, these twin angels of Spurgeon. And when we do that, it enhances the meaning further, because it reminds him, as it reminds us, that the goodness done to him, the goodness given to him, doesn't just sort of come to him by chance or some cold, unfeeling force. No, all the goodness that comes to him, it is an expression of God's love to him. All the goodness is flowing from God's heart, the heart of the kindest, most wonderful and merciful love. And what David writes here, it's fully true for us all. As the Lord's people, the twin angels of goodness and mercy, they attend our lives as well. The flock of Christ, with the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, good things come to us. And we read of that, I mean, Romans 8:28, a very well known verse. All things work together for the good of those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And in Christ we can say this, it's all blessing, isn't it? There are no curses. No bad things will come to us. Now, they all come with goodness within them. And even what we might term, and the world might term, the bad things of life, you know, the Lord takes them and they become good things for his people. They are redeemed to us. And they come to us through the atoning love. They are flowing from God's Father heart of love to us. These things we do well to take in, because they're very precious truths and very powerful truths for our souls, and to dwell upon them does us good. Even as we are able to reflect on our own Christian lives, how it has been true for us also up until this point, as David reflects, so we too can come to this convinced conclusion that surely it shall be. So surely, I wonder, in our Christian lives, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. So that's our first thought this evening. We have a convinced conclusion. But secondly, I think we can see here that it is a conclusion which calls for faith. Conclusion which calls for faith. Now, how is that? Why do I say that? Well, I would draw that from the word follow. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In other words, they shall come after me. They shall not present themselves necessarily before me. They are following me. They're coming after, you see. The idea seems to be this, that the days of life that David has lived, as he's able to look back upon those days, it is then as he looks back particularly that he is able to see that this has been so. That goodness and mercy, the twin angels, have been, as it were, dogging his steps. They've been following him. As he entered into his activities and the challenges of a day, as it was before, at times we know with David and his situations, they must have looked pretty grim from day to day. Black, bleak days. On the surface they appeared anything but good, anything but coming from a hand of love and mercy, perhaps often appearing contrary to that. Ah, but then with the eye of faith, he's able to look back and see, yes, as he comes back to the end of that dark period, it has been so. Throughout, goodness and mercy, they were always there. Not necessarily before me, but they were following me. They were attending every step. So you see, it's a conclusion, a convinced conclusion, as we said, yes, but one that requires the spiritual eye of faith. But is that not part and parcel of the life of a Christian? The life of faith, as we rightly call it. Goodness and mercy are there, but they follow us as believers. And as we approach certain situations, as we approach days of hardship and trial, difficult situations present themselves. You know, these two angels, goodness and mercy, you know, at times, often, they don't appear before us. Before our eyes necessarily, they're not there, but they are present, only they are behind us, they're following us. As we come through and reflect in faith, as David is doing here, it is then that we can see how that has been true throughout. Let me quote Spurgeon. He says, "These twin guardian angels will always be with me at my back." At my back. He concludes, they will always be with me, but there they are following me at my back. And I'm sure those who have been a long time along the Christian path, and they can speak, can't they, of dark and difficult periods, even extended dark and difficult times in which there was very little light during those periods, and perhaps just sufficient light for one step at a time. The lamp along the path has been a guide. We've looked around us and everything appeared to be chaotic and confusing, and we were unable to see goodness or mercy, unable to see love. But although that was true at that point, but as we look back and we reflect upon it, as we have been by grace brought through, we are able to, yes, trace the hand of God, the good and merciful hand of the Lord. And we can see how, yes, he was being both good and kind and loving to us in and throughout it all. And so as we look back, we're able to agree with David. Surely, yes, goodness and mercy did follow me. They were following me, even throughout those dark days of my life. And this maybe is a blessing for some. Even here this evening, you're currently called upon to be in hard and difficult places. You're struggling in the midst of that to see any goodness and any mercy. And it's certainly not there to the view of your natural eyes and your natural senses. Rather, to your view, things are very contrary. It's bleak, it's bad for you at this time. Well, if that's the case, now may the Lord grant you, may He grant us all faith, the spiritual eyesight to take this text to heart, to take it in faith. You may not see these two before you as your path unfolds before you, but here is God's word, and here it assures us that they are there. Nevertheless, they are with you, they are following you, they are at your back. And may the Lord grant you to, as it were, hear their soft footsteps behind you, treading, those two angels, and to be assured that they are there, and so be strengthened in your faith, and indeed enjoy knowing that goodness and mercy are with you through the wondrous love of God through Christ. So that's our second thought on this. Yes, it's a convinced conclusion, but it is a convinced conclusion that calls for the spiritual grace of faith. It needs faith because they follow us rather than necessarily going before us at times. But then finally, we can see something else here. We have a comprehensive conviction, a comprehensive conclusion. And that it is comprehensive, we can see from the word here, all. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so David, having reviewed his life, seeing how the Lord has been his shepherd throughout, seeing all that that has meant for him in terms of blessing, and realizing that his life has been constant in this truth and varying in it, he concludes that this will continue to be so constant and unvarying. All the days so far, it has been so, he concludes, and so all the days from this point, it shall also be so. He has seen the Good Shepherd has been with him all the days of his life up until now, and so from now on also he concludes that he shall be present still with all his blessings, even goodness and mercy following all the days of his life. The psalm began, didn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. A great statement. We thought about it a number of weeks ago. But it is what we could call a statement of state. A statement of state. The verb here is the verb to be. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a verb of state opposed to a verb of action. A verb of action is like jump and speak and clap. You know, it's something that you do. But a verb of state is something that is. It's a state or a condition. The Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is going to be a shepherd for a season, for a day, for a week, a month, or whatever. Then the next day or month, he won't be a shepherd any longer, but then he'll return at some point later to be a shepherd once again. No, he isn't an intermittent shepherd. The Lord is constantly his shepherd. And likewise, because that is true, this goodness and mercy, which of course comes from the good and merciful shepherd himself, the loving shepherd, and so they too shall continue constant all the days of his life. You see, it's a comprehensive conviction, comprehensive conclusion that he draws. And this is a sweet and a lovely thought for us as Christians, particularly as we come towards the end of our series, looking to God's word, which assures us that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as well. And that's the covenant of grace. Now we are brought in through that covenant into a state, in which the Lord is my shepherd. He is always going to be our shepherd. Then he will never cease to be our shepherd. And all those days, not part of the days or even most of the days, or all the days save a few days, there are no exceptions to this. No, it is all day, and what is more, it is every day and everything within every day. And we can draw that from the first word of the sixth verse, can't we? Surely. But that word surely can actually be translated by another word, only. Spurgeon draws attention to that in the Treasury as well. So it could be translated, only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In other words, nothing but goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. So not only all the days, but everything within those days. It's comprehensive, that which we read of here. And so, yes, we can say, can't we, that all things work together for the good of those that love God, the called according to his purpose. You see, it's only goodness and mercy and only love. And so our lives, they are consequently a constant stream of these things from the hand of God. They are constantly upon us, constantly with us, because of course we are in Christ and nothing but good comes to the Lord Jesus. Nothing but love from the Father comes to the Son. And we who by wondrous grace, who have known that pardon of our sins and the washing of his precious blood, and have been robed with his immaculate righteousness, and through all that we have been brought into Christ, and consequently, as Christ receives nothing but blessing, we too receive nothing but blessing, only goodness, mercy, and love, and kindness flow to us as the Lord's people. So even those things which appear bad, and the world titles them as bad things, suffering and difficulty and hardship, even those things, they're part of it all, aren't they? They are all for our good. And so we can conclude with David here. Only goodness and mercy. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh, God willing, next week we will complete this wonderful psalm, thinking about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever.